eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Yes, it is Birds at the Bye. We're live today at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Midday Show. Come on out. We're here all day broadcasting live until 7 p.m., and then we're going to jump behind the bar at 6 for some guest bartending. The proceeds today go to the great Travis Mannion Foundation. Come on out. South Philly here. And, Hugh, we've had a treat the first couple hours. We've had great guests, but John Ritchie and Rhea Hughes in the first hour, the Go Birds guys last hour, and now a special treat this hour as reunited with us right now on the Midday Show, Glenn Macnow and Ray Diddinger.
Ray Diddy.
How we doing, guys? Glenn, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know how to mix a drink, do you?
I'm going to learn tonight at 6 o'clock. No, actually, I don't.
You know what?
I don't know how.
Do you know how to pour a beer?
Yes.
Okay.
Certainly.
That'll be 95%.
I can do that.
Speaking of beer.
You got more beer?
Man, listen.
Well, Glenn
always comes
with gifts.
Like, I just found out about bourbon beer, like, what, 3 weeks ago?
Barrel-aged bourbon beer. Yeah.
And
that's,
Glenn,
that's your wheelhouse.
Like he has given me like awesome beers every week, and I just tweeted out one. This one's called Seven Deadly Sins. I haven't had a bad one yet. Now I gotta tell you, if you drink this, you gotta it's gonna put some hair on your chest. But this is some good
it's
stuff
gonna
right here.
Put you to bed.
Yeah, that's what it's gonna do.
You gonna definitely
it's
go night.
Like, that's a big bottle. It's a 14%. Just don't drink it more than 10 feet from your bedroom.
Oh yeah, I'm going.
It's a good idea.
These at home. These are like nightcaps.
Enjoy.
Ray, how are you today?
I'm very well, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and obviously the whole fan base is doing well because we have an 8-1 football team that right now is the best record in the National Football League. As we sit here at the bye, and we know this tough stretch is coming up. We'll get to that. Let's start with this, guys, because Ray, the team's been excellent now for the 2 years, right? They almost never lose a football game. Last year, it felt more dominant week to week for me than this year has. Ray, when you look at this team through the 9 games, do you believe we're watching a truly great football team or a very good football team that is winning in their way every single week? How do you frame what you've seen so far?
Well, I said, Joe, I said before the season started that I felt coming in that the Eagles were the best team in the NFL going into week one. And I've been around this team and covering this team and talking about this team for more than 50 years. And that was the first time, the very first time, that in week one I could ever honestly say going in, I think the Eagles are the best team. I didn't feel that way during the Vermeil teams, even though there were some good ones. I didn't feel that way with the Andy teams, even though there were some good ones. And I certainly didn't feel that way with the Peterson team that wound up actually winning a Super Bowl. But I thought just in terms of the 53-man roster coming into the season, the Eagles had the best roster in the NFL. And to this point, that's why it's not a huge surprise to me to see them sitting where they are right now at 8-1.
Ray Diddy, you've been watching the Eagles for a long time, but I just want to ask you, am I being a little bit overly cautious or overly concerned with the sloppy play that I've seen in the NFL? I'm talking about in 2-minute drills and things like that. Mm-hmm. Not so much the Eagles, but across the NFL.
Oh, no.
And am I being a little bit overly concerned, like looking at this team, thinking that that could be something that could potentially, you know, snake bite them as we go through the rest of the season?
It could. But I think you said it very well, you. I mean, that's what the Eagles are, but that's what the whole league is. And I was just saying to Glenn before we came on here that I'm in a different kind of position now because I'm sort of a little bit removed from it. So I'm now watching the whole league and not necessarily just focusing in on the Eagles. So I'm watching all the teams out there. And the level of play in the NFL through the first half of this season, you, is not very good.
And it's sloppy at the end of games.
Well, that Monday night game was ridiculous at the end with the Bills running, the Bills and Broncos, oh, right? The field goal at the end. It was insane.
Please. Oh, it's terrible.
Too many men on the field.
It's nuts.
Come on.
Really bad. And the only thing, and I said this to Glenn, too, I said the only thing that's been worse to me than the overall play in the NFL through the first half of the season has been the officiating. I mean, if the officiating, which I didn't think could get much worse than it was, has been just god-awful. So you get the combination of those two things. Look, I know everybody's excited, and you should be excited, having an 8-1 football team. But looking around the state, the overall health of the NFL right now, not a great product right now through half a season.
Glenn, do you believe this Eagles team is a truly great team, or are they just the best of whatever this league is at this date?
I think if you're the best team in the league, you're a truly great team. And you know, maybe in 25 years when they write the best teams of the 20th century, this one may not make it. But here's a comparison I'll give you. When the Phillies won the World Series in 2008, were they a truly great team?
They were not.
And who'd they beat in the World Series?
Tampa Bay.
Right. And they didn't have to face Boston, and you know, it fell their way. Do we feel any the worse for it that we had that parade? We don't.
No, of course not.
So if the Eagles win, we're not going to – I mean, we can do it now, and I'm not trying to argue with your premise. But in the end, if they win the Super Bowl, we're not going to care if they're truly great because they're going to be the best there is, and we'll get our parade.
Well, that's for sure. And, Ray, it feels like over the next 4 to 5 weeks, but certainly the next four, we're going to have a better answer to this question, right? We're here today at 8-1 at the bye, and they're the best team. The next four games are going to give us a real strong sense of they're truly great, they're really good what they are. When you look at this stretch, first of all, it feels like this is pretty rare to face this many good teams. Now, Buffalo is not what we thought, maybe, and they're, you know, they might miss the playoffs, but to face this many good teams in a row feels like a super challenge. Ray, what do you expect in the next five games? I mean, because we've debated earlier in the show, some people believe they're going to go 5-0. Like, they just win every week, so we're going to keep winning every week. I think 3-2 feels like a very – I would take that outcome. Where do you lie when you look at the next five games, just how challenging this is?
Yeah, I'm glad you said five games, because I hear people saying four, and I say don't sleep on that Seattle game.
Of course.
Because you've got four really tough games coming up, and then you've got Seattle in Seattle the week after that. And anybody
they're
that knows
no slouch, right?
Anybody,
they're no slouch.
No slouch. Anybody that knows their Eagles history knows the Eagles record against Seattle. It ain't good, and it's especially not good in Seattle. So to play that at the tail end of that stretch is going to be a real challenge. I mean, when looking at this a few weeks ago, I mean, I was looking at the five teams and saying, you know, they're playing five playoff teams, really, in reality. Now, you can quibble about whether Buffalo is or isn't at this point now, but still, yeah, it's a really tough stretch. And listen, if they, you said 3-2, Joe, if they do 3-2, that they will have done very well. Because all you have to do, really, in my view, is get the number one seed in the NFC. That, to me, is absolutely critical. It's bigger than it's ever been now. Now that there's no two, now that only one team gets the bye, and you get the whole home run, the number one seed has never meant more. And so, if the Eagles can just get through this at 3-2, there's no doubt that they will then be the number one seed in the NFC. And if they're the number one seed in the NFC, I mean, they'll be a prohibitive favorite to go back to the Super Bowl.
Ray Diddy, I'm curious. Like, when you look at this bye week and the Eagles being in it, what is the biggest deficiency in your mind that they had to clean up? Was it the running game, or was it the secondary play, especially at that middle part of the field, the linebacker spot? Which one was more important for you?
The secondary, and I include the linebackers in there too. That just your general pass defense to me was the biggest concern, and you know I think the addition of Bernard will help, but I think the biggest thing. And this, if you're an Eagles fan, this is what you're hoping for, is they have had so many changes and so many personnel changes and so many moving parts in the secondary through the first half of the year that I think they have just had coverage breakdowns, communications breakdowns. I think that accounts for a lot of what's happening in the secondary. So hopefully, if now you have your people in place, that over the second half of the year they'll have more continuity and the general effectiveness will be better.
I don't disagree with Ray, but my biggest thing that I'm looking forward to coming off the bye is the health of Jalen Hurts and how that 2 weeks hopefully gave his knee time to recover, because I tie a lot of the running game's deficiency now to the fact that he's no longer a threat to run, so teams aren't defending it. If he comes back healthy or healthier, I think that really picks up. If he doesn't, then I got a concern.
Well, I do too, and it's interesting, Glenn, the way you frame that, because we looked up the numbers the other day. I think he's only run the ball through an RPO play, like kept it and run it himself, 10 times this season. So
right, not a scramble, not a tush push.
Right. If I can look that up, every team in the NFL knows it. I think you're right that the run game is struggling because teams are not respecting him to keep it and run around. They know he's going to hand it most of the time. And it's just, it's weird. Isn't it bizarre to watch five straight weeks where they don't run the football well? This is such a good running team.
After they did it so well. And Swift was great. How great was Swift at the start of the season? Yeah. No, and I think, you know, people talk about changes on the offensive line. They've changed the right guard. I'm sure that weighs into it. But to me, the biggest thing is Hurts has to be healthy so that they fear the possibility he's going to run.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Ray, how do you assess the run game? Because you know, they're winning, and Jalen's playing so well as a thrower right now, throwing the ball so well and winning from the pocket. It hasn't felt like it's caught them, but you go to the Cowboys game at the end, they tried to run the ball in the fourth quarter to ice the game. They couldn't do it, right? They kept giving the ball back to Dallas. That's why that game became, you know, tight at the end. What do you think is going on with the run game? Because, you know, since Sirianni got here, it's been phenomenal until the last, you know, month and a quarter.
Yeah, well, I think you guys just hit on it. I think that the not having the RPO factor, not having the Jalen Hurts threat to run, has changed the way defenses are able to play you. And the other thing is that teams now have had an entire year to study the Eagles offense and get a better idea of how to deal with it. Because last year, when Hurts was healthy and they were running the ball the way they were running the ball, they were a real challenge for a defense to try and figure out how to defend it. Because there wasn't any other offense in the league quite like it. Nobody was able to run the offense quite the way the Eagles were. And so every other defense in the league was behind the curve coming into those games. That's not so true now. The combination of they've now had a whole year to study you and they have a better idea of what you want to do, and now you limit the opportunities in which you're going to give Hurts the ball to run it. The two things combined have made it a bigger challenge for the Eagles to run the ball. But for them to really put all components of this team together, they're going to have to start running the ball better in the second half of the year, especially in situations like the fourth quarter when you got a lead. You know, one of those like 5-minute possessions where you just run out the clock. I mean, we saw that all the time last year, and we haven't had a chance. We really haven't seen it yet this year.
No, we haven't. And we're here at Chickies of Pete's live today for Birds at the Bye. You just heard it. Ray Dittinger, Glenn Mack, they're joining us here. And don't forget, if you're going to go see the Eagles on the road this weekend, stop in at Chickies and Pete's newest location, Chickies and Pete's, Kansas City. ChickiesandPete's.com for details. Hugh Douglas is going to be out there. He's going to Kansas City.
You going to the game, Hugh?
Kansas City? No, I'm not going to.
He's going to Chickies and come back.
I'm going to hang out and come right back.
Nice.
It's called like a overnighter.
Junket.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Chickies here, Chickies in KC.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Yeah,
I think that Chickies in KC probably just stays open based on Andy's
I think you're
being
right about that.
Alone.
Yeah, I think it's going to be jumping. I might even get a chance to see Big Red, asking what the game plan is going to be, you know, things like that.
Nice.
Well, let's get to that game because, that you know, we've been waiting for this stretch, and it's obviously a very challenging stretch. And it starts, Glenn, Monday in Kansas City. We'll do the pregame show Monday night. But, you know, there hasn't been a game this season where the Eagles have been underdogs, right? They've been slight favorites in some, but they've basically been expected to win every single game. This is the first time they're right now, you know, 2.5 or 3-point underdogs, even, you know, kind of even when you look factor in the home field. But they're underdogs. Glenn, when you look at this game, it's interesting. It's a rematch from last year, the Super Bowl. But the Chiefs are a little different. They don't score as much as we're used to, and now they have the best defense they've had with Mahomes.
Yeah, their personality has really changed, right? They aren't a team that is looking to outscore you 41-38. They are a team that really does have a solid defense. Listen, I'll make the pick when I see you guys on Monday, but I think we're fooling ourselves to think this isn't a really tough game. I know there's extra motivation. I assume there's extra motivation among the Eagles to get back at that game, and certainly players specifically. I heard somebody, I think it was on your show, maybe it was on the morning show, mentioned Hassan Reddick as a guy who...
It was Rhea this morning, yes.
It was Rhea, right? And I think that's a pretty good point. That said, Kansas City at home, Mahomes, that's a real tough one.
Ray, this game, how do you assess this one? Because it's going to be billed as the rematch, but these teams are different. You know, obviously Hurts isn't running right now as much, and that Chiefs defense, I almost have to do a double take when I look at the numbers, because we're used to them being middle of the pack, bottom third, and, you know, Mahomes just beats everyone with his arm. They're a different team now.
Yeah, they are. Their defense is good. I mean, it really is, and I give Steve Spagnuolo a lot of credit. He's done a really good job with that group. Because you're right. I mean, over the last few years have become conditioned to the idea that the Chiefs' philosophy is we're just going to outscore you. And now they can win a game with their defense, too. They're not running the ball great. Their offense really does revolve around Mahomes and Kelce. And they've gone through stretches this year where, you know, it's like three and out, three and out, three and out, which is not what you typically see with the Chiefs, but they've had stretches like that. But the defense has been good enough that it's kept them in all of these games, even though they're on the minus side of giveaway takeaway, which is also unusual. You know, if you talk to Andy Reid and you got him in an honest moment, which isn't always easy to do.
When does that occur?
Might be really hard.
You, Douglas, could probably do
so.
It. I think he would level with you. Probably not the rest of us. But he's a little worried about where his team is right now. Their record is fine, but they're not a little bit like the Eagles. They haven't really had a four-quarter, beginning-to-end dominant kind of game like we saw pretty much every week last year.
Yeah, and their receivers have not been up to snuff. You know, I have some friends there, and to your point, nobody ever comes out and says it.
Right.
They'll say something like, you know, it's a work in progress, which every team is at this point. But there is some concern, I would think, with the receiving core down there and the fact that your tight end is basically your whole offense.
He's it. But that's he's it. Always open.
Yeah.
AJ Brown. He's open on every play.
Yeah, he's a beast.
He is amazing. So just to kind of play off of that, I don't think there's any team in the league this year, and kind of getting back to what you were saying earlier, Joe, that is currently a great team.
I agree.
It can change by January, and some team can really go. I looked at Baltimore a couple weeks ago, like, boy, they're going to be great.
They leaked oil.
Right, and they leaked oil. Kansas City, we assume, was going to be great. I think there's probably five, maybe a half a dozen teams, the Eagles toward the top of that have a chance to win the Super Bowl. But there's no dominant team this year that you say, boy, they're never going to lose.
I agree with that. So let's look at the NFC. And, Ray, you mentioned earlier the one seed, how important it is. When you look at the NFC contenders, and I will include Detroit. I know people are maybe slow on that, but I include them. Which one concerns you the most, or would you at least want to play in January? So there's Detroit and obviously the usual suspects, Dallas and San Francisco, who we know has circled the Eagles on their calendar since last January. Ray, of those three teams, who's the one that you think should concern the Eagles the most?
I will still say San Francisco. I will still say San Francisco just based on what I think is the strength of their roster. I think they have really good players. Now, if you had asked me a month ago that I think they were capable of losing three in a row, I probably would have said no. And typically, teams that lose three in a row in a regular season don't go to Super Bowls. I mean, three losses in a row in a regular season tells you something. So typically those teams don't fare well at the end. But the thing is, the 49ers, there's just so many good players there that I think they're going to be there at the end.
Their A game is very good. Like, when they're on, it's like, wow.
It really is. And a lot of it depends on the quarterback. A lot of it depends on Purdy and how they play. He's turned the ball over more than he did last year, and he's turned the ball over too much. But I saw an interesting stat on Purdy in that he's now played 17 games. He's now played the equivalent of a full season. considering he came in late last year, now he has this year. So now you have basically a season sampling of what he's capable of doing. And he's been very good. I mean, he's completing 69% of his passes, averaging almost 9 yards an attempt, which is all very good. He has 8 interceptions total, but six of them have been in the second half of games when he's been trailing. So that tells you is he right now at this point in his career, if the 49ers find themselves behind in a game in the second half, is he a guy on that last possession or two possessions that can put together that 85-yard drive under that kind of pressure? He still has to prove that he can do that.
I think that's fair. And, yeah, I mean, his numbers are ridiculous. We still think of him sometimes like, oh, he was the last pick in the draft. Obviously, he works that offense. Glenn, the Niners have a good A game. We know Dallas and the Eagles always seem to have good matchups against each other. And then there's Detroit, who is the new kid on the block in this. Glenn, of the three, which one's the biggest challenge?
I think it's Detroit. I do. I think the Niners have kind of stumbled, and they've had a lot of injuries. And they do. I agree with Ray. They have the talent. Detroit can run the ball, and I think that gets important toward the end of the year. Of course, if San Francisco's healthy, they can as well. Detroit hits. They play hard. That Dan Campbell, everybody joked when he came in about the biting kneecaps and so on, but I think he's for real.
He's a good coach.
I think he's a really good coach. So of those teams, I say Detroit. Dallas is going to have to play on the road. They're not going to win a playoff game on the road. That's a history that goes back a long way that I'll stick with. Detroit in the playoffs, if you have to go there, that one would worry me.
So, Glenn, you said that Dallas is going to have to play on the road, and I think you are likely 99% right on that, right? The Eagles are going to win this division.
Yeah, they're not going to lose the division.
Is it locked up right now, Ray, when you look at it? I mean, Dallas' schedule is very light the next month. We know the Eagles' schedule is pretty hard. Do you think it's, like, no question the Eagles have won this division already, or do you think Dallas gets back in this thing? Because the next time they play, you know, is after the Eagles –
No. I mean, the Eagles are certainly they're in
the driver's seat.
Yeah, they're in the driver's seat, is safe to say. But by no means. I mean, you look at the games that the Eagles have coming up now with Kansas City, Buffalo, San Francisco versus the three games that Dallas has coming up.
I think it's Carolina, Washington, Seattle.
Right. So they've got three very winnable games. The Eagles have three really tough games. I mean, it could come down to that next time you play the Cowboys, you're playing for first place. I don't think it will happen, but the way the schedule lays out, it could happen. And, I mean, one thing you can say about the Cowboys is they're very good at home right now. What do they want, 12 in a row at home? And similar to what Glenn was saying about Detroit, look, I think if the Eagles get home field, I don't know if there's anybody in the NFC that's going to come in here and beat them in January. But if something happens and the Eagles have to go and play a playoff game in Detroit or in Dallas, you know, the difference between the teams is such that all of a sudden that game now is in question.
Yeah, the silver lining, Glenn, for the division, even if it does get close the way Ray laid out, the Eagles end
the last
season.
Three games.
Giants, Giants, Cardinals.
The last three games is the JV.
It might be below that.
Arizona is clearly tanking. The Giants are not deliberately tanking, but they're doing a great job of it.
Well, their quarterback, they might have got him out of the crowd
last week.
Oh, my God.
God bless that kid. He
overmatched.
He shouldn't be in that job, right. But he's got it, and he's going to probably have it for the rest of the year. Yeah, they're going to win those last three games going away and probably be able to rest players as they do it. So if you go 3-2 in the next five games.
And then 3-0 after that.
If you go 3-2, you start the party.
Well, that's 14 altogether, right? We do the math. And I think that'd be good enough. Ray, I think it could take 14, though, when you look at the Lions' schedule. It could take 14-3 for the Eagles to get the one seed.
Yeah, it could. It could. I would ask I would ask you, Douglas, who's been through the postseason thing before. When you look at the Detroit team, and coming into the season, I wasn't a full believer in the Lions. You know, I thought I think they're getting a little too excited about how good the Lions are and where they could go. Well, I'm a believer now. I think they're a legit good team. But how much, if they get into a postseason situation, where they're in with the Eagles and the Cowboys and the 49ers, who are playoff-tested teams, how much of a disadvantage are they going to be at being, you know, a lot of these guys being through this now for the first time?
Well, it's funny because I haven't seen too many Detroit games. But their mantra is not the same old Detroit. So they're playing, they're kind of ignorant to everything that's going on. And if they somehow luck up and get a high seed, maybe the number one seed, and you have to go in there. I think they're a problem because of the running game. Like, the one thing that I know for a fact is during this time of year, November, December, business decisions are made in the secondary. And I keep saying that, and you know, it's the truth. You got corners that when they get those big old running backs running downhill, they don't want to make those plays. We've seen it time and time again in playoff games where, you know, teams that run the ball well tend to be more effective than teams that don't because nobody wants to tackle. So if Detroit figures out a way to get in there and they haven't been in a while, they're going to be a problem.
But how much – and I think this is part of Ray's question – is playoff experience?
I don't think it matters.
You don't think it matters
because
first time in, they're not going to get the jitters.
Think about example the Cincinnati Bengals and how like the trends that we follow when say back in our day when we watched football and how things mattered. It's not the same anymore. It's not. Teams look at the opportunity and you know how it is, Ray. You're told to seize the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if Detroit has been down for so long. They've been like the last good team they had. I think it was Sam. Was the quarterback was Bradford and Dominican Sewer.
Well, they haven't won a playoff game since '91.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's been a long time.
They've never been in the Super Bowl, not once.
Yeah, so they're gonna see like they're in a sweet spot right now where they're getting a whole lot of attention that they haven't had in a long time. They're probably gonna seize the moment. So that's what scares me about them. And like I said, you got an old school coach in Dan Campbell who understands that. This is the time of year where running the ball separates most teams from each other.
Yeah, and the other thing about them, I know they're young and they've never been here. Of the other three contenders in the NFC, Dak, Purdy, Goff's been to a Super Bowl. He won a road NFC championship game. Like, we don't think of him because he's not great, but, you know, he scares me more than Dak does in a big game.
I was going to say, in a playoff game, I'll take him over Dak.
Do you know what I was told in a situation? Like, it's always great. You need a quarterback to make plays in this situation. You don't have to have a Patrick Mahomes. To win a game. You can have a Jared Goff, especially if you have a strong running game. The best friend of any quarterback is a good running game.
Yeah, he's playing well. 215-592-9494. It is Birds at the Bye Midday Show. We have Glenn and Ray. They're sticking around next segment. We'll come back. We'll squeeze a call in or two. And we'll get to something Jaws said earlier this week that really was interesting about his biggest concern with this team as we come out of the bye. That's next. All your phone calls coming out. Chickies and Pete's Birds at the Bye. Proceeds today from Crab Fries go to the Travis Mannion Foundation. Great day right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let me tell you, my friends over at FanDuel, get ready for the NFL week. Start off right. Right now, all customers get a no-sweat same-game parlay for Thursday Night Football. It's a great one. Just place a three-leg same-game parlay this week between the Bengals and Ravens. Big game. You'll get bonus bets back if you don't win. NFL same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Build your own or choose one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. I really like the FanDuel app. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO so you don't miss out on your chance to get a no-sweat same-game parlay on America's number one sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.